I invite you to remain standing for the reading of God's matchless word.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. And St. Luke wrote, Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And now may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, Lord, for thou art our strength and our redeemer. And if through the words of a man we hear not the voice of God, then speak to each of us in the quietness of the heart. Amen. This morning I want to introduce you to one of my very favorite Christmas characters. His name is Simeon. He was an Old Testament saint, an Old Testament believer whose hope was in waiting to see the Lord's Christ, the Messiah. God had filled him with this hope through a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit. He said, hold on, and you will personally experience the joy of my saving grace. Now, it's Simeon who makes the unusual link between the birth of Jesus and the death of believers and Jesus' own death in Luke chapter 2. Before we get all consumed by the sweet spirit of Christmas, thinking about little babies crying in the night, we are immediately brought to an awareness that the purpose for which Jesus Christ came was to redeem us by the price of his own death, that we might be God's redeemed, gathered in, restored people. And so Simeon lived every day in waiting. Every day he made his way to Temple Mount. So many of you have been there. To Solomon's portico, that magnificent place in Jerusalem where Solomon built the temple to praise God, the place where the Dome of the Rock Mosque is now. And in the midst of a throng of worshipers who came every day to praise God, Simeon found Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph had been led to Jerusalem to do for Jesus with what was the custom of the day. He had been circumcised as an initiation into the family of God, but now they were going to the temple to present God, to present Jesus as was the custom, as a gift of praise. And there they met Simeon. The interaction of this man with this baby is a priceless picture of hope in the Bible. I hope you brought your Bibles this morning and will turn with me to Luke chapter 2, because this morning I want to share with you the fourth of four songs of Christmas that are found in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. This song was beautifully read by Carrie this morning, but allow me to share it again. Simeon's response to meeting Jesus Christ personally. The Spirit of God awakens his spirit and he cries out with joy, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. In this fourth song of Christmas, in this magnificent encounter between the aged Simeon and the newborn king, Simeon finally comes to that place of such incredible peace that he is ready to depart, that is, euphemistically, to say, die. Now, I want to ask you a very strange question here in the midst of Christmastide, here in the midst of thinking about little babies in a manger. Simeon raises this important question. Are you ready to die in peace. Not just die, the reality that will overtake all of us one day, but to die in peace. I'm convinced that you and I are never really ready to live to the fullness that God has for us until we are ready to die. Until we have experienced that peace that passes all understanding, that allows us to hold life loosely and joyfully. And so this morning I'd like to take just a moment to follow this theme. One is prepared to die in peace when he or she is, and I'd like to mention four things. Two from the experience of Simeon in Luke chapter 2, and two more from my experience in serving Christ and the church for these past 25 years. My great hope is that you will leave this place this morning more ready than ever to die. Why? Because you are living in to the peace of God that Simeon experienced and that God himself wants all of his children to experience. So, number one, one is prepared to die in peace when he or she is, number one, at peace with God, at peace with life. Now, if Simeon is aged, as the text implies, then he had a lot to think about over the years of his life. For instance, he could think about the temptation of bitter memories. He could choose to spend his last days reliving all the disappointments that he had personally experienced, and by reliving them, allow them to sting him over and over again. Simeon, with all of his life experience, could have chosen to bow to the temptation of fear and anxiety. He could have chosen to occupy his days worrying about his finances, worrying about the future, worrying about his family, worrying about the reality of world affairs. Simeon, being the senior citizen that he was, could have yielded to the temptation of constant hurts, choosing to bemoan the injustice that he sees around him, the injustice of the massacre of the innocents, which would take place because King Herod slaughtered all the little boys under the age of 2 out of rank jealousy. He could have spent his time bemoaning the hurts of life. He could have yielded to the temptation of crippling regrets, looking back over the mistakes that he had made and dredging up those feelings of regret, causing him to feel that his future was limited. But Simeon did not bow to these temptations. By faith, in the hope that he had in God's salvation, he chose not to dwell on the bumps that he experienced on the rough road of his life. Rather, Simeon, by faith, developed a model of faith that enabled him to confidently trust God's future plans for his life. Simeon had come to believe that God was not against him, but God was for him. God was not ready to strike him, but God was ready to lift him up. And the Bible says he lived in the hope of that lifting experience of God. You know, nothing is more bleak than a today without a tomorrow. Someone has said, anticipation is the purest form of pleasure. That's what Christmas was all about for me as a little boy. I can't tell you that I remember many of the presents that Santa Claus brought me on Christmas morning. I can't remember many of the presents that were wrapped so beautifully under the living room tree. But I remember the experience of anticipation. Waiting, wondering, shaking the boxes when I wasn't supposed to, getting older and sizing them up and figuring out, could that be that in that shaped box? Until my parents came up with that parent idea, you know, taking a great big box to put a little bitty gift in to get me off the trail. I remember the pleasure of anticipation. Whereas Simeon could have focused on what was wrong with his life, he lived with the hope of anticipation in a God who was for him. I wonder, do you have that experience in your life? A peace with God that he's working on your behalf, that he is crafting all things together for good. Well, secondly, one is prepared to die in peace when one is at peace with death itself. Simeon uses a euphemistic word for death in Luke chapter 2, and he says, Lord, now your servant is ready to depart in peace. I like the Greek text there. It's apoluo, and for believers, it has at least a threefold understanding of what it means to die. It means, firstly, to be finally set free from the shackles of sin that cause us to do the dumb things that we so consistently do. Secondly, it means taking down this temporary tent that we call the human body that has been battered and beaten by the experiences of life. And thirdly, it means setting sail with the North Star in sight to our heavenly home. Now, this is a complete corruption of the Greek, so forgive me. I am going to corrupt the Greek text apoluo. When I ran across that in my study in God's Word, my immediate thought was Apollo. You remember the space age concept of Apollo? Breaking free from what holds us back and setting sail for the great unknown where God already is. Simeon did not see death as a dead end to be dreaded, but rather he saw it as an open door to the final fulfillment of his life. Simeon was ready to entrust himself to death, not as a punishment, but as a prize. Those of you who have studied classical poetry will remember the name William Cullen Bryant, and in his epic 81-line poem that we call Thanatopsis, which literally means meditation on death, he speaks this sense of hope. Now, the poem Thanatopsis is not specifically religious. It's not overtly spiritual. But yet, in the closing lines of this magnificent poem is a thought that inspires me. A thought that I believe inspired Simeon in Luke chapter 2. So live, William Cullen Bryant wrote, that when thy summons comes to join the innumerable caravan which moves to that mysterious realm where each shall take his chamber in the silent halls of death, thou go not like a quarry slave at night scourged to his dungeon, but sustained and soothed by an unfaltering trust. Approach thy grave like one who wraps the drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant dream. I don't know what it is about us as we grow a little bit older, but it's at this time of the year that I hear more people make this type of statement than at any other time of the year. I sure do miss my mother. Oh, I can't tell you the numbers of you who have said to me as you've gone about doing good, getting ready for Christmas, stopping almost in your tracks and saying, I sure do miss my mother. You know, there's something built into us that longs for that ultimate reunion. Death not as a dead end, death not as a punishment, but death as the ultimate reward of life. Complete healing, complete salvation, complete restoration and a reuniting with those who have gone before us that gave us life and shaped us into the people that we are. One day I'm going to say that, and I know what it feels like now. I sure do miss my mother. Oh, for those who are ready to die in peace, that comes when we can make peace with death and see it as God's ultimate reward. Thirdly, I'd like you to notice from my experience in ministry that one is prepared to die in peace when he or she is at peace with others. Now, this is a theme that we come back to time and time again because it is such a central theme, particularly in the New Testament, and that is the theme of forgiveness. It is such an important theme that Jesus focuses in on that theme almost exclusively in the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, it's the only conditional petition in the prayer. We pray, forgive us our trespasses. How? As we forgive those who trespass, who sin against us. I've discovered that there is no more debilitating and demoralizing human emotion than that of unforgiveness. Whether it is a person who refuses to forgive and holds a grudge, or one who desperately repenting of a mistake wants desperately to hear a word of forgiveness. Hear a word of restoration that is being withheld as a punishment. I'm convinced that one is ready to die in peace when he or she is at peace with others. And if there's one great message of forgiveness that I have for this holy season, it's this. Be like Jesus and make the first step toward restoration. Be like Jesus. Be the bigger person and reach out the hand of genuine forgiveness. Maybe you are at peace with one another. Thank goodness. If you are, then say these words, I love you, regularly, often. May they be the most worn words on your lips. All of us were touched by those on the first 9/11 who are living to this day with the hope of the last conversation they had with their loved one trapped in one of the two towers in Lower Manhattan. That last cell phone conversation, that last word, I love you. Or I'll see you again. Those last words that continue to echo in their hearts. We don't know when our time is going to come to an end. You can assure yourself that you're at peace with others when you tell those you love that you love them regularly. Do you do that? What a difference it'd make at the end of the phone call with those you love most to simply say, I sure do love you. I sure do love you. What an investment. I believe that we are ready to die in peace when we're at peace with God, when we're at peace with death, when we're at peace with others. And let me suggest to you a final and new idea. When we are at peace with our end of life choices. Now, what do I mean by that? I've become familiar with a wonderful ministry that was begun by Jim Towery. Jim, an attorney and legislative assistant in Washington, D.C., to former Senator the name just went right out of my mind, from Oregon. The former senator from Oregon, whose name is Mark Hatfield, is a practicing believer. He is a baptized and confirmed Roman Catholic who decided to spend some of his free time investing himself in Mother Teresa's ministry to those with AIDS in Washington, D.C. He was so touched by the needs of those at end-of-life issues that he forged a particular relationship with Mother Teresa, and for the last 12 years of Mother's life was her personal counsel in all of the work she did around the world. Jim Towery, who is now a college president in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, began a ministry of helping people answer five questions. He calls this five wishes. Five wishes that he believes every family member and every physician needs to know in advance of that moment when we are facing end-of-life issues. A method by which we can truly express our feelings and know that when our time comes, things are in place. I've had some interesting experiences with men, particularly at end-of-life issues, struggling with letting go for fear that their family will not be taken care of. Now, you're not yet at end-of-life issues, but can you understand that feeling as a guy of leaving this life and being concerned about your wife, your children, your grandchildren? I've had several experiences of holding the hand of a guy ready to go into the Father's presence, but holding on and literally having his family gather by and say, it's going to be okay. You've provided for us. It's going to be okay. You can go on home. We'll see you soon. It's okay. How much easier it would be for all of us to face death in peace if we knew our end-of-life issues were taken care of. Now, I had hoped to have copies of this Five Wishes booklet, but because of mail and Christmas, they did not come. But I've given you the website because I would like to urge you with all dispatch to give a gift not just to yourself, but to your family by looking at this 12-page document called Five Wishes. And these are the five questions, the five issues that are dealt with and in great detail. Who you want to make healthcare decisions for you when you can't make them any longer. The kind of medical treatment you do or do not want. How comfortable you want to be in your last days. How you want people to treat you. And what you want loved ones to know, particularly as it relates to a funeral or a memorial service, a burial or a cremation. You know, I've sat with lots of families in maybe my most unfavorite room in the whole world is the casket room at the funeral home. You know, where they have the caskets and the little I have a friend that says urinals so often I almost slip and said it, where they have the caskets and the little urns. And I've seen people just wring their hands trying to figure out what would mama want and the price tag that goes with it. What a blessing to your own heart and to your family to just be honest about end-of-life issues, to make peace with God, to make peace with death, to make peace with others, and to make peace with your own end-of-life decisions so that when your time comes, you can approach death not with regret, not with unsaid words, but with a sense of peace. So in the name of Simeon, who just 40 days after the birth of Jesus links the birthday of the King with his future death on the cross and the death of every believer, including himself, I ask you this important question. Are you ready to die in peace? I would like to help you be ready to die in peace. And at whatever age you find yourself, I would like to encourage you to make this your first resolution for 2013. Because it is possible that you can die in peace. When you're at peace with God, when you're at peace with death, when you're at peace with others, and when you're at peace with your own end of life choices. Let us pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to live into the reflections of Simeon. We want our spirits to rejoice as his did and be able to say every day of our lives, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh God, help us settle our concern about death, our brokenness with others, our unanswered questions, that we can hold life loosely and lightly, and look forward to the day when we all get to heaven. For what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen. We conclude our service this morning on this last Sunday of the year. I invite you to find again your connection card, and on the back side, I encourage you to mark and to memorize our memory verse for this week from Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 29. Lord, now let your servant, fill in your name. Lord, now you are letting John depart in peace, according to your word. Why? For my eyes have seen your salvation. I wonder, have you seen his salvation? Would you like to see his salvation? Would you like to know the peace of God that could begin today at this altar? The bottom of the card is an opportunity for you to share your heart with me. I delight to pray with and for you on Tuesday, and yes, on New Year's Day, I will be praying for you, interceding before the throne of God's grace. What keeps you from being at peace with God, with death, with others, with your own end-of-life issues? I would be honored to pray with and for you. Also, an opportunity for you to indicate your desire to become a part of this great church, how honored I'd be to serve as your pastor, or to get more involved in Sunday school or Bible study. As the music plays, I invite you to complete your connection card, fold it over, if you will, and leave it with an usher as you depart from the sanctuary. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, his healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace, perfect peace, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.